third Sunday of Easter. Prayer. Psalm chapter 16. Protect me, O God. In you is my refuge. To Yahweh I say, you are my Lord. My happiness is in none. My birthright, my cup is Yahweh. You alone hold my Lord secure. I bless Yahweh, who is my counselor. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep Yahweh before me always. For with him at my right hand, nothing can shake me. So my heart rejoices, my soul delights, my body too will rest secure. For you will not abandon me to Sheol. You cannot allow your faithful servant to see the abyss. You will teach me the path of life. Unbounded joy in your presence, at your right hand, delight forever. Reading the Word. First reading, Acts chapter 2. Peter stood up with the 11 and addressed them in a loud voice. Men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, make no mistake about this, but listen carefully to what I say. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God, by the miracles and portents and signs that God worked through him when he was among you, as you know. This man, who was put into your power by the deliberate intention and foreknowledge of God, you took and had crucified and killed by men outside the law. But God raised him to life, freeing him from the pangs of death, for it was impossible for him to be held in its power since, as David says of him, I kept the Lord before my sight, always, for with him at my right hand, nothing can shake me. So my heart rejoiced, my tongue delighted, my body too will rest secure, for you will not abandon me to hate, or allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have taught me the way of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, no one can deny that the patriarch David himself is dead and buried. His tomb is still with us. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn him on oath to make one of his descendants succeed him on the throne, he spoke with foreknowledge about the resurrection of the Christ. He is the one who was not abandoned to Hades and whose body did not see corruption. God raised this man Jesus to life, and of that we are all witnesses. Now raised to the heights by God's right hand, he has received from the Father the Holy Spirit who was promised, and what you see and hear is the outpouring of that Spirit.
Second reading, 1 Peter chapter 1. If you address as Father him who judges without favoritism, according to each individual's deeds, live out the time of your exile here in reverent awe, for you know that the price of your ransom from the futile way of life handed down from your ancestors was paid, not in anything perishable like silver or gold, but in precious blood, as of a blameless and spotless Lamb, Christ. He was marked out before the world was made, and was revealed at the final point of time, for your sake. Through him, you now have faith in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory for this very purpose, that your faith and hope shall be in God. Gospel, Luke chapter 24. Now that very same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking together about all that had happened. And it happened that they were talking together and discussing it, Jesus himself came up and walked by their side, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are all these things that you are discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. Then one of them, called Cleopas, answered him, "You must be the only person staying in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have been happening there these last few days." He asked, "What things?" They answered, "All about Jesus of Nazareth, who showed himself a prophet, powerful in action and speech, before God and the whole people, and how our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and had him crucified. Our own hope had been that he would be the one to set Israel free. And this is not all. 2 whole days have now gone by since it all happened, and some women from our group have astounded us. They went to the tomb in the early morning, and when they could not find the body, they came back to tell us they had seen a vision of angels who declared he was alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb and found everything exactly as the women had reported, but of him they saw nothing." Then he said to them, "You foolish men, so slow to believe all that the prophets have said. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer before entering into his glory? Then, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, he explained to them the passages throughout the scriptures that were about himself. When they drew near to the village to which they were going, he made as if to go on, but they pressed him to stay with them, saying, 'It is nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. Now while he was with them at table, he took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke it and handed it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he had vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' They set out that instant and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 assembled together with their companions, who said to them, 'The Lord has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized him at the breaking of bread."
Hearing the Word. Hopes and Expectations Revised. The third Sunday of Easter continues to focus on the resurrection and how it modifies our hopes and expectations. Both the disciples of Jesus and the Israelites of his day had numerous and rather specific expectations of God and hopes regarding the future. Jesus, through his resurrection, revised these hopes and expectations, significantly instructing his followers on what they should hope for and what they ought to expect. Our first reading contains the first speech of Peter delivered right after the Pentecost. Peter proclaims Jesus' resurrection, and quoting Psalm 16 shows that it was already anticipated in the Old Testament. Once again, we are made aware that Jesus' death and resurrection were not accidental. God had intended to endow humanity with eternal life from the very beginning of creation. At the same time, the speech demonstrates how the hopes and expectations of various groups were revised by this pivotal event. First, Peter emphasizes that the Jewish leaders, together with the Roman authorities, conspired to kill Jesus. Both of these groups acted out of jealousy and fear, aiming to protect their own position
and secure influence over the people. Their expectations were clear. By executing Jesus, they hoped to remove the threat to themselves and solve the problem permanently. They fully expect that death would be the end of Jesus. Their expectations failed spectacularly. In fact, by killing Jesus, they initiated a wholly new movement that would eventually become the church. This Christian community, built upon Jesus' resurrection, is still here today, while the institutions that condemned Jesus have long since vanished.
Peter also speaks of the resurrection of the Christ. The word Christ means the Messiah, the Anointed One. Peter and most of his fellow Jews expected the Messiah to be a Davidic king with political and military powers who would restore the Israelite kingdom on earth. This restoration was to be accomplished by military and political means and lead to the defeat of the Roman Empire. However, having encountered the risen Lord, Peter was forced to revise his expectations regarding the Messiah and his mission. Defeat of the Roman armies and political leadership was not to be his work. The Messiah would conquer a much greater enemy, death itself. Expectations of the people were also drastically revised. They are not to expect the restoration of the earthly kingdom of Israel, but a very different renewal, restoration of human nature. After resurrection, the future of believers does not lead to Hades, the place for the dead, but to the presence of God in eternity, where Christ is already enthroned. This very first speech of Peter gives human hopes and expectations an entirely new direction. The second reading emphasizes the centrality of Jesus' resurrection and also teaches about the proper focus for our hopes and expectations. When 1 Peter was written, the vast majority of people believed that their gods were to be pleased, entreated, and appeased by offerings of money, that is, silver or gold, and various, often animal sacrifices. The aim was to appease the anger of gods and secure their favor in order to be blessed with material prosperity and security. The author of the letter shows how different Christian faith is. Offerings of silver, gold, or the blood of animals achieves nothing. Our reconciliation with God was accomplished by the self-sacrifice of Christ, who shed his blood once and for all. Hebrews chapter 9. There is no need for any further sacrifices and offerings. The only thing expected of Christians is the life that follows Jesus' teaching. Such life can be sustained when a Christian maintains clear focus on his or her future life in God's presence. Your faith and hope should be in God. Therefore, our hopes and expectations must not focus on securing material and earthly prosperity, but rather be directed towards God and keep eternal life firmly in focus.
The Gospel reading contains the well-known story of the journey to Emmaus. One of the striking lines in the conversation between Jesus and the disciples is, "Our own hope had been that he would be the one to set Israel free." This single line shows how all of the disciples must have felt at the time. All hopes they placed in Jesus when they were with him, and all expectations they developed seeing him perform miracles and teachings, were shattered by his cruel death. Like most of their compatriots, they expected him to be the Messiah who would bring liberation from subjugation to the Romans. It all seems to have fallen apart. In the course of the conversation, Jesus showed them their mistake. Their hopes and expectations were misdirected because they had not understood God's intentions and plans correctly. He directed them to the scripture and explained God's plan indicated there. He opened their minds to understand God's purposes and eventually allowed them to recognize Him by reenacting the Last Supper by breaking the bread with them. In light of the scripture and breaking of the bread, the disciples finally abandoned their misguided hopes and expectations and returned to Jerusalem rejoicing. In this episode, the disciples were liberated. They were not liberated from the Roman oppression as they had initially expected. They were liberated from their own misguided perceptions, hopes, and expectations. This liberation brought them peace and enabled them to begin a new chapter in their life as disciples.
The contemporaries of Jesus, both his adversaries and his disciples, had very specific beliefs and expectations regarding who the Messiah should be and what he should do. These very expectations led the leaders to hand Jesus over to the Romans. False expectations brought disillusionment and despair upon the disciples after Jesus' death. The letter of Peter shows that the early Christians had to be liberated from the common idea that they can gain God's favor by making money offerings and sacrifices to secure their well-being on earth. It is very important to notice that false hopes and expectations of Peter and the disciples were revised by correct reading and interpretation of the scripture. This shows that it is in the scripture that we discover God's guidelines that should shape our hopes and expectations. It is there that we are made to understand what God had done in Jesus, particularly in his resurrection. And it is there that we find the confidence that the psalmist expressed, concluding his song with the words, "You will teach me the path of life. Unbounded joy in your presence, at your right hand, delight forever."
Listening to the Word of God. Revising hopes and expectations in the light of new and contrary information is never easy. It requires honesty, courage, and faith. Honesty to name and own our hopes and expectations. Courage to change direction in the light of new information that challenges our beliefs. Faith to act and believe that the change will be beneficial. Let us apply these three principles to two examples that we are all familiar with: marriage and prejudice. When a couple gets married, they have hopes and expectations about married life. For many couples, marriage is seen as a gateway to endless days of joy and living happily ever after. However, sooner or later, they discover new information about their spouse, which they were not previously aware of. For example, particular habits or weaknesses or strengths. This revelation of the truth about the other requires, if the marriage is to last, a revision of hopes and expectations to align them with reality. How the couple manages this change will determine whether their marriage will last or not. The other example is prejudice. Many of us hold uncritically negative or positive beliefs about persons who are different from us, such as those belonging to a different ethnic or racial group or religion. When confronted with information that is contrary to our beliefs, we are faced with the decision of whether to change our ideas or not. For example, If one believes that members of a particular ethnic group are inferior and then happens to meet someone belonging to that group who does not fit the stereotype, this becomes an opportunity to either revise beliefs about the group or continue with one's prejudice.
The disciples and members of Jesus' community, as we read in the reflection above, had similar choices to make because Jesus did not fit into their expectations and hopes of a Messiah. They had a choice to either accept or reject Jesus. Today, there are many promises being made in Jesus' name for prosperity, health, and fulfillment of material desires. Many come to Jesus because of these promises and have expectations and hopes for a life of health and wealth, and are disappointed when Jesus fails to meet their expectations. The message of sacrifice, laying down one's life for others, and willingness to die for truth and justice, which Jesus used to describe his followers, come as a shock to many. It often requires a revision of our own expectations and hopes. The choice is ours, God's way or our way.
Don't look where you fell, but where you see.
Action. Self-examination. In what areas of your life do you feel let down by Jesus? What does this reveal about the expectations and hopes that you have from Jesus? How does the call to lay down your life require an adjustment of your hopes and expectations? Response to God. Pray that Jesus would open your heart and mind to understand the purposes of God for your life as you meditate on the scriptures. Pray Psalm chapter 119, verse 18. Open my eyes, that I may see the wondrous things in your law. Response to your world. Reflect on expectations and hopes that you have in relationships to family, friends, parish, politics, and government. Think of ways of revising these and working towards change for the common good. Be the change that you want.
Prayer. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hateful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Amen.